We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Glad to be with you as Super Bowl 53 now is, 30 hours away? Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. They're providing you a seamless mortgage experience that I promise you is going to be pretty, put a big smile on your face. Check out our friends from Rocket Mortgage. Gotta love it. As Super Bowl 53 is now, 30 hours away? There's been a lot of talk about it. We're halfway through our Super Bowl special. If you're just joining us, John Kincaid in. Ken Carmen, usually here with you. He'll be back next week at this normal time. He's going to get up tomorrow morning and live the life of John Kincaid and be in my normal Sunday morning spot. So I hope he gets a good night's sleep tonight. I know he's going to entertain you tomorrow morning. Make sure you're around for that. But as we look at the Super Bowl and what's coming, I don't want you to sound dumb. And I don't want my media brethren to sound dumb. It is okay if you don't like a team. I raise my hand. As a media member who spent my formative years being indoctrinated into the life of Philadelphia Eagles football, I cannot stand the Dallas Cowboys. Can't stand them. But I can still admire what I think is a guy in Dak Prescott who I think gets a little undervalued. And I can still admire the fact that back in the day, Jimmy Johnson, one of the greatest football coaches, who I think never gets brought up amongst the greatest coaches of the game, college and pro, Jimmy Johnson was awesome. It's okay to hate another team, though. I hate the Cowboys. Hate everything about them. And I would root against them at every turn. But that doesn't mean that I can't be objective and look at them and go, man, I really like this, really like that about them. It's very, very good. I can even say now, like, I love the Cowboys offensive line. Absolutely love it. Ezekiel Elliott, love the way he runs. So you can have some objectivity. But the hate for New England and the Patriots, honestly, it just makes you sound dumb. And that's my opinion. Makes you sound dumb. I don't have to like the Patriots. I don't have to like Bill Belichick. I don't have to enjoy anything about their run. But if you don't pay them the proper respect and you don't understand them in a historical context and what they bring to the table and what their this sustained run of greatness has done, well, I'm not going to take you seriously if you want to be taken seriously as a host, an analyst, a writer, or otherwise. Let's be clear. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are not great because they cheat. There have been times where they have potentially pushed the envelope. Some proven, some unproven. What I would say is, if you don't believe that many, many in their sport are doing the same, you're completely naive. And at some point, you're ranting about the Patriots being cheaters and the Patriots aren't deserving and Tom Brady isn't as good as he really is. No, Tom Brady's great. Tom Brady's great. And I'm going to look at Tom Brady and say, I am not one of those people who says, Tom Brady is so much better than, you know, any of these other quarterbacks. He's the, like, I don't do the GOAT thing for Brady. I consider him spectacular. I consider him sitting at the dinner table with Joe Montana and John Elway, who, if I was to go the top ones that I saw, pressure, under pressure, completing big passes, helping your team come back, making big plays at big times. Montana, Elway, and Brady will always be that triumvirate for me that I am going to celebrate. Just acknowledge the greatness, would you? Stop with the hate. I heard a bunch of guys on Radio Row, and I can hear them doing their shows, and it's like, well, we know the cheaters are in town, and I'm like, oh, gosh, you're still doing this? Wow. That's so like 2012. Stop it. Stop it. Now, the Rams have a homecoming here in Atlanta, conversely. Rams have a homecoming because there's so many reasons for the people here in this market in Atlanta, where I reside Monday through Friday on 680 The Fan, and it's also the home of the John Kincaid Show here at CBS Sports Radio. The Rams have a homecoming. When you see the two top running back weapons in the game, both being from the University of Georgia, and you see two key members of the offensive line for the champion Patriots of the AFC being from Georgia and Georgia Tech playing side by side. Sony Michel and Todd Gurley, star quality on both sides of that ball. Both sides of the, you know, the gridiron on Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, I should say evening. Michel and Gurley both having storied careers here at the University of Georgia. Boss Andrews, Shaq Mason, Georgia and Georgia Tech, respectively. I mean, these are names that get this community excited about them. And then throw in the fact that Sean McVay's coming home. And my daughter attends a school in suburban Atlanta called, it's not really suburban Atlanta, it's Atlanta, called the Marist School. And it's the oldest private Catholic school in the Southeast. And Marist was the home of Sean McVay. And I'm sure you're going to see highlights of his high school football career where he is the last state championship winning quarterback at Marist. And I'm sure you're going to see and hear a lot about that tomorrow. And you'll probably hear about Alan Chadwick, his head coach, who is still active at Marist. He's still the coach. So when I go to see my daughter's school play on Friday nights, I'm still seeing Coach Chadwick, who trained Sean McVay and helped him become the football player that he became and then the coach that he is. His coaching mentor is Alan Chadwick, and I still get to see Coach Chadwick running out teams at Marist still. Lost the state title game last year, two years ago. Lost the state semifinal game this year, but he's still just cranking them out. Second winningest coach in the history of the state, and Georgia football, the state of Georgia high school football, it matters. So a lot of people rooting for Sean McVay, too, tomorrow. So a lot of good storylines in this Super Bowl between these two great teams. And I'm going to give you opportunities to get in on the phones, and we haven't been able to do that yet. But I want to make sure I open up the phone lines for you because in the next 2 hours of the show, this one and next one, I want to make sure that you had times. We were heavy guests early, and I want to make sure you have a chance to get in. And you can use our toll-free line of 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. That toll-free line brought to you by Geico. And I can tell you there's some great news from Geico. A quick way you can save yourself some money. Make the switch to Geico. You go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. It will give you an opportunity to be able to get in if you have a thought and you want to share. And that includes the people in New Orleans. And even some of the people whining in Kansas City that I saw. And I even saw like established media members, AFC and NFC championship weekend doing the, I can't believe the AFC title game was determined by a coin flip. I'm like, what? Yeah, it was determined by a coin flip. Okay, so let me get this straight. So the Chiefs didn't go to the Super Bowl because they lost the coin flip. But the Rams in the exact same situation went to the Super Bowl because they lost the coin flip. Huh? What? Huh? What? I'm absolutely confused with the logic. And unfortunately, I saw some really bright media minds tossing this stuff out there as if it was something that was enlightening to us. Look, I get it. I understand it. There are people who wanted to see Patrick Mahomes with the football in his hand in overtime. Okay. Sure. Would have loved to have seen it too. You know how I saw Jared Goff with the football in his hand? I saw the Hall of Fame quarterback to be Drew Brees throw a horrendous interception that ended up costing him that game. Had to sneeze there. Had to turn off the mic. I saw it. You don't have to win the toss to win in overtime. Doesn't have to be that way. It's been the year of a lot of whining. It's really a lot of whining. And in an era where you can't trust anything in the media, we can't trust any story we're told. You can't trust stories that you're being told. Many stories being pushed to push an agenda. And I don't care what a political affiliation you have. They're out there, and they're both ways. Sometimes one side's hitting more than the other, but look, don't spin to me that it's one side only does this stuff. It happens. But when we can't trust stuff, and Tom was saying it earlier to me, producing this show, this is what sports is supposed to be, the escape, right? And that whole AFC-NFC championship game weekend, which, were, by the way, were two spectacular games, both going to overtime, everything on the line. And what did we do afterwards? Did we revel in the greatness of the games and what we saw and how exciting it was and what spectacular drama it was? And again, I ask it many times. If you're not a sports fan, what do you do for that outlet? That outlet of excitement and invigoration. Like, what do you do? Where do you find that outlet? Because to me, it was absolutely amazing. And Tom, you brought it up to me, the idea that it got that whole weekend, the spectacular football weekend, got swallowed up in like controversy, and all the controversy was made up.
Yeah, it was a little bit frustrating.
Because it took away from a great weekend.
It really did. Those were amazing games.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about it. We may never see two overtime games on Championship Sunday for the rest of our lives.
Absolutely.
We seem to have forgotten that it even happened.
And two great games. Here's the one thing from Championship Weekend I'm never going to forget. I saw my team, the Eagles, lose their chance to go to the NFC title game because of the fact that up 14-0, they got punked on a fake punt that gave the Saints the ball. They kept the Saints in the ball, and then they went down and scored a touchdown that changed that entire game completely. And the very next week, on the exact same field, with the Saints up 13-0, they got burned on the same exact bold type of move that they used to get to the NFC Championship game. That's impossible for me to fathom that they got, that still to this day, that they got caught on that fake punt. I can't believe it. Can't believe it ever happened. I want you to get on the phones. If you want to have a chance to chat today, love to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. And for you gamblers out there, a special guest coming up later on in the hour. He's the only two-time winner of the Super Contest in Las Vegas. His insights matter. We'll get to that coming up. And I have the smartest prop bet on the board in Super Bowl 53. The absolute smartest one. You got to do it. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We usually are together Sunday mornings here on the network, 6 a.m. to now 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on CBS Sports Radio every Sunday. But the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl special always takes over, hijacks this spot on Saturdays. The day before the Super Bowl, and we appreciate Ken Carmen. If you used to listen to Ken, hopefully you enjoyed things, and hopefully you'll be back for Ken's show next week, and you'll hear Ken in my slot tomorrow morning. As we get ready for Super Bowl 53, some of you are going to get in on the phone lines at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS, and Tom is the gatekeeper. Tom's the gatekeeper of whether you get to come on the air or not, and Tom had an idea like I had that it's been a very positive show and there's great energy for the Super Bowl and everything. And Tom, you just don't want it anymore, right? You're tired of this complaining.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks. I mean, it was kind of cool like the Monday after. I still didn't necessarily agree with all of it, but the Monday, Tuesday after.
You were willing to engage
Sunday,
in the debate,
yeah,
yes.
That's what we're for.
But
now.
Nah.
And the thing is, it's carried over into people saying, okay, the officiating or the coin flip situation, the overtime situation ruined this matchup. And that
I don't agree with.
I don't either. You can say you don't like what happened on Championship Sunday, fine. But I think this matchup is so enticing, is such a toss-up, is so hard to predict despite everybody picking the Patriots, it seems, or at least 90% of people. I think there's plenty here to talk about, and we are, you know, the countdown is on. We have 18 hours, so let's talk.
I want to see what Tony in Vancouver has to say first. Can we do Tony first? Because I want to hear from Tony. Tony, welcome to the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl special here on CBS Sports Radio. Good afternoon in the East. Good morning to you.
You there?
I'm here. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, there's no conspiracy here, and I don't buy that. But it's a league that can't guarantee fairness and integrity. They're going to make rule changes. They're going to change that. This will never happen again. This is a double black eye.
No, they're not. Tony, I can tell you this right now, and you can check back with me. They're not changing that rule.
Well, they're going to do something.
No.
They're going to have to,
no.
They can't have what happened 2 weeks ago. I've
no.
watched 48 Super Bowls in a row.
Okay.
In Super Bowl V, when the Colts beat
okay.
Tom Landry and the Dallas Cowboys, I can't watch it this year because I can't look at the Rams and say they honestly were there.
It's okay, but you're, okay, so let me take you back to that game. So the Rams didn't belong in that game. Who threw the pass on first down that stopped the clock there for the Saints?
Listen,
that was Drew Brees, right?
Don't matter, okay?
What do you mean they don't matter? Matter?
You know,
what do you mean they don't matter? If he runs the ball,
matter,
Tony, Tony,
right so
if,
bad
Tony, if he,
re-
Tony, Tony,
referees,
Tony, conversation,
apologize.
Tony, conversation.
Yeah.
You don't just talk over me.
Okay.
You got a chance to talk. Now go I ahead. Talk, then you answer me. We're having a conversation. If not, we're going to go otherwise. I said to you, if the coach of the Saints runs the ball three times and kicks a field goal, then the Rams get the ball back with 48 or 49 seconds left and no timeouts. So don't tell me that changed the game. And by the way, the Saints had every opportunity to stop the Rams. They had the lead. They had a chance to stop the Rams. They didn't before overtime. Then they got the ball in overtime. And they could, and they had the ball. And they threw an interception. It's ridiculous. I appreciate your protest.
Okay,
but there it is.
Why did the head of the referees call him before the press conference?
Because they do that. Because that play, Tony, he feels they blew the call. I feel they blew the call. But it's what, guess what? Whenever they blow a call, the head referee always calls the coach. It happens every time.
No.
And then do you watch the game the next?
2 days, and then they stay in the game of the day.
No, they don't. They go back. Tony, they always get a call from the referees about that. Appreciate your call. And guess what, Tony, again, if you're not watching because of that, I'm wondering why you're pissed off in Vancouver. It's ridiculous. So are you going to watch the opening kickoff game next year? Or is this a one-game protest? It's nuts. Let's go to Craig in Jacksonville. Craig, you're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to have you aboard. What's going on?
Hey, you know, I'm honestly just tired of all the complaining, man, about the calls that were made, about the toss of a coin costing the game. I mean, it's comical to me because it's almost like everybody forgets that there's a defense on the field that still has a chance to stop.
Yes. Which, by the way, the Rams defense got them to the Super Bowl by turning over Drew Brees in overtime.
Exactly. You know, and as far as the no-call goes, yeah, it was an egregious no-call, don't get me wrong, but there was also missed calls on the side of the Saints as well.
Yep.
That could have been called against the Saints, and who's to say that the game would have ever gone into overtime?
Craig, I got to tell you this, and I appreciate your call. Thank you, Craig. I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she's highly intelligent. She's nothing like her father. But she knows one thing. When she's trying to discuss something with me, get her way on something that I'm not giving in on, the minute she uses the it's not fair card, conversation's over. The minute she says it's not fair, well, it's not fair. It's not fair. This teacher gave me this grade. It's not fair. The minute she pulls that, conversation's over. And I always say to her, care to rephrase? Want to try again? Because if there's one thing I want to teach her before she's unleashed on the world is that life is not fair. And you say that's a cliche. If it's a cliche, how come so many adults don't understand it? David in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I have been there, David. It's beautiful. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you?
Good to have you on the show today. What's going on?
Hey, I think those were two great games. But I think what you saw in the officiating was why the games need to be called the same way in the playoffs as they are during the regular season. I think that crew in the Saints and Rams game I watched it. There were so many calls that they could have made that would have been made, I think, in the regular season that didn't get made. And I think they painted themselves into such a small corner that that last call that they could not throw a flag even if they wanted to.
So you're thinking the players, it's like the fact that they put together all-star crews in the playoffs instead of leaving the units all together like they are during the regular season.
No, but I think the same standards, because you always hear how, and you see it in the NHL, you see it in several different sports where calls that are made in a regular season, they aren't made in the playoffs because they want to let the players decide the game.
Yes.
Well, as a player, okay, you need to know where the line is at.
That's a good one. Appreciate your call. All right, I'm going to be able to get one more in here. Roger in South Carolina joins us. Roger, you're on the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl special live from Atlanta. Good morning. Or good afternoon, I should say, for you. How are you?
Hey, doing good, John, man. It's great to have you on a Saturday morning.
Thanks, man.
Really cool. For a good break. I listen to you on a Sunday, or try to.
Appreciate that.
Earlier, and real quick, I had a question. Did you get on with Scotty Farrell this week?
I did not because last night we didn't get to do our usual Friday night of Super Bowl week, but next year we will reunite, I promise.
Oh, man, that's the most rapid-fire radio I've ever heard.
It's so much fun, and I love Pharrell. We had the Shaq's Funhouse last night, so
okay.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, okay. John, earlier this show, you were saying that if Brady goes and loses tomorrow and his record in Super Bowl goes 5-4, that would be...
Does it change anything, yeah.
Or you wouldn't look at it the same? John, I got to disagree. Magic Johnson's NBA Finals record is 5-4, and until Michael Jordan came around and won 6, Magic was considered the greatest.
And do you know who my favorite is of all time? Magic Johnson. My favorite player is Magic Johnson ever. Favorite player, yeah.
He's in my top three. There's no doubt. That was the golden age of NBA. I know now it's good now, but Magic's NBA Finals was 5-4, but
yeah,
he's considered before Jordan came along. Magic was the consummate winner, and Showtime was the standard by which everything's measured. And I hope Brady does win, because I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of the team. I'm not so much a Belichick fan, but I'm a Brady fan.
There you go.
I appreciate what he's done, and I want to see him get 6. But
all right, buddy. Thanks for your call, and I appreciate you listening in. And listen in to Ken Carmen tomorrow morning. He's going to be fun. I hope he gets up out of bed in time, though. Come on, Ken. We're counting on you. We're going to talk to the only two-time winner of the Las Vegas Super Contest ever, Steve Fezzik, coming up in just a moment here on the John Kincaid Show. I would imagine he knows something about this Super Bowl that might be able to help us. But now, look who's on. Greg Caserta's in. How are you, Greg?
How are you, buddy? It's been a while, but
yeah,
like
shift
I always
change.
Tell you, it's always good to be on with you.
Good to be on with you. Okay, well, Greg, I want to make you some money.
Let's do it.
How about if I told you that in every Tom Brady Super Bowl, there's one prop bet that is hit every single time.
Ooh.
8 for 8.
Is that a teaser for the next break?
No, it's for you. I'm going to try to make you some money right now.
All right, what do you got?
I'm not going to whisper to you. The first quarter under.
Okay.
First quarter under has hit 8 for 8 in Tom Brady's Super Bowls. You know why? In 7 of his 8 Super Bowls, he hasn't scored a point.
It's a Kincaid lock.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is pretty
last year, the Patriots got a field goal in the first quarter against the Eagles. It was the first points they ever scored in a first quarter of a Tom Brady Super Bowl.
I like
He has 3 points in 8 Super Bowl games, which is crazy. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. And the most points ever given up in a that were ever scored in a first quarter of a Tom Brady Super Bowl is 12. And the average is less than 8. So there you go. In the first quarter, bet that under. I'm just trying to help you out.
You always do.
A little cash, you know. A little cash doesn't hurt anybody. So, you know, or you can just always bet, like, potato chips or anything like that.
I'm going to be here tomorrow night, so I'm going to have some prop bets with some people in the newsroom.
I am making up a prop bet sheet for me. I've never watched a Super Bowl with my wife and daughter. Ever. And I'm going to, even though it's in Atlanta, I'm going to watch it at home tomorrow. Let someone else go in my seat. And I'm going to make up a prop bet sheet because even I have to gamble with my wife and daughter.
Avoid the traffic.
There we go. All right, coming up, Steve Fezzik. He knows a lot about what's going to happen. We'll get to him next on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
I had a chance to meet this guy the other day. Steve Fezzik is joining us now on the John Kincaid Show, Super Bowl 53 special, live from Atlanta, here on CBS Sports Radio. And I loved it because Steve is the only two-time winner of the Super Contest, which guys like me, Steve, believe we could actually compete in sometime. And I almost did this year, and I told you the story the other day. My wife said, do it. I had a great year picking last year, and she said, do it. You deserve it. Go do it. I didn't do it, and I had one of my worst years ever picking games. How do you do it, Steve? How do you do it?
Well, it's a combination of good handicapping and being fortunate, but how great is poker and sports betting? It's not like you can just walk out to Pebble Beach and play in the U.S. Open. Well, I guess you could if you could qualify, but you want to play in the main event of poker, you can do it. You want to play in the main event of sports betting each year at the Westgate in the Super Contest, you can do it.
Okay, well, here's what I'm trying to figure out. And I'm just going to pick your brain because I'm thinking maybe I'm going to get some intelligence that will help me be more intelligent next season. You said it's a combination of good handicapping. If I was to say to you the two or three things you look at when you're handicapping a game, a particular game that you're looking for, that jump off the page and saying, this helps determine wins and losses, what would they be?
I would look at the history of a team and look for false box scores where the final score did not tell the true story of the game. Let's use an example last week. If you looked at the box scores, well, let's start with the final score. So both teams come in as three-point underdogs. New England wins in overtime, and of course, the Rams win in overtime. Looks like comparable results against comparable teams. But when you really dug into it, New England dominated most of that game against Kansas City. They were -2 in turnovers. Kansas City was lucky to be in that game at the end. And of course, D4 jumps offside. They almost won it, but New England really deserved to win that game. The Rams game against the Saints could have gone either way. That Rams win was not nearly as impressive, despite the fact those final scores looking comparable.
So that's a good one for you there. Do you look at the coaches? Because what do we do in sports radio? We talk about coaches over and over again. How big is the coaching matchup when you're handicapping two teams? Do you have coaches' records in mind?
Oh, it's enormous. You know, I probably weight time management and game management too much in my coaching evaluations, frankly, because it's really what I'm best at and not as good with the X's and O's. And so oftentimes you'll see a coach win a game just because he's better at basic strategies of what to do. Example, Atlanta, New England. Why did Atlanta win the Super Bowl against, why did Atlanta lose that Super Bowl? Well, I would argue that the number one factor was New England kept kicking off to the 1 yard line and Atlanta kept running it back 11 yards and getting stuffed on their own 12. The field position was so horrendous for the Falcons in the second half. And that was all about Belichick choosing not to kick into the end zone, but to kick it just short of the goal line.
See, that's a good strategy. See, there's little strategy points. And so, Steve, when you're looking at this matchup between these two teams, is there anything that jumps off the page to you that says, okay, the Rams are primed to make an upset? If this happens, the Rams are going to walk away Super Bowl champs. There's like one thing that jumps out at you.
I think the number one factor is Gurley. Obviously, something's not right. We're all trying to evaluate what is going on with him. Here's a back that was averaging almost 100 yards midseason rushing. And then he got hurt, and so he got a lot of rest, sat week 16 and 17, came back for the playoffs, and we saw him barely get any carries last week against the Saints. And I know that McVay is saying, oh, he's going to utilize him, and that's on him, and he just overlooked Gurley. I don't know about you, John. I don't usually overlook people. I'm paying $15 million a year. I think something's wrong.
There was something going on there. I mean, there appeared to be something going on there. I'm wondering about – how much do quarterbacks, I asked you about coaches, how much does quarterback say to you? They're never on the field at the same time, but we always talk about the quarterback matchup, Jared Goff and Tom Brady. Is there any red flags or things to worry about with Jared Goff?
Oh, absolutely, because Jared Goff was great early in the year when he had Cooper Kupp, so he had three really good wide receivers, and Gurley was kicking butt, and that play action was so devastating that he had some wide open receivers. And after the Kansas City game in the second half of the year, he was not nearly as good. Now, he played really well against the Saints, especially the last three quarters. But I would say that that's an upset. And the eye test, I don't think McVay trusts Goff. So I think that the Rams are going to be ultra conservative to start the game and make sure Goff with nerves does not make a big mistake early on in the game.
What does the amateur guy wagering, and now we have states where legalized gambling is out there, so there's a lot more guys that can do it that aren't there in Vegas with you. What does the amateur gambler tend to make mistakes on?
In Super Bowl betting, number one problem he has is he wants to bet a little to make a lot. He wants to bet long shot bets, but Vegas knows that the amateur is going to bet that regardless of the number presented. So Vegas shorts the odds on everything like who's going to win the MVP, what the exact final score will be, exactly how many yards will Tom Brady throw for, will he throw for 280 to 290, et cetera. And it turns out all these needle-in-the-haystack prop bets are almost impossible to win, so much so that the pros largely ignore them. Example, I've been coming to Vegas. I've been making a living betting sports since 2001. Coming to Vegas before that, I remember a Denver Bronco 49ers Super Bowl. After the 49ers scored their first of many touchdowns, the guy next to me holds up a ticket, player to score first. It said Sammy Winder to score first, 5-1, not 50-1, 5-1. And he says, I can't believe I blew a buck on Winder. And I thought to myself, wow, his disadvantage of that bet must have been like, literally, like he'll get back 15% ROI on that bet.
I stood in line last year at the Bellagio after the game, an Eagles fan holding a lot of positive tickets in my hand, and it was great, and I felt great about it as I'm celebrating them winning a Super Bowl. But how much does heart take over with people as you watch people and you talk to people about legalized gambling? How much does heart take over, and heart ends up killing so many of us?
Oh, no doubt about it. I got to tell you, I have no affiliation with any team because I hate them all. They've all let me down. I have jaded relationships with every sports betting team on the board. But probably the worst thing you can do is if you love a team to be betting on them all the times. And I might argue that one of the more profitable situations I see is when if you really like a team and so you're biased, but you still think that they're going to underperform or get killed in any one week, it's probably a good time to bet against your team. And it's a natural hedge, right? If you win, you either win your bet or your team does better than expected.
I've seen that under first quarter bet hit constantly over and over again in these Tom Brady Super Bowls. And he hasn't scored in 7 of his 8 Super Bowls in the first quarter. Are there any other weird sort of stats like that that jump out at you in Super Bowl 53 as you've analyzed it?
Well, just in general, Super Bowls start out slowly. Patriot Super Bowls really start out slow. But it turns out if you've gone back the last 20 Super Bowls and just bet the second half to outscore the first half, you're 15-4-1 because
wow.
Yeah, typically, and it makes a lot of sense. If I was in the Super Bowl, I got to tell you, I don't think I'd dial up a double reverse. I don't think I'd throw deep. I would probably, even though I'm like an ultra analytic, aggressive guy, I'd probably run the ball on first down and throw a short pass on second down. And knowing it's like the U.S. Open in golf on Thursday, I don't want to lose this in the first few holes, the first few plays. Let's let my players who are so amped up ease into the game.
When you look at these two teams, who do you think's the smarter team during a game?
Well, the Patriots are always the smarter team. The Patriots never take dumb penalties. There's no question at all. It's not even close. And if you look in terms of Patriots and Super Bowls, in fact, the past 5 Super Bowls, they have never committed more than 5 penalties in any of those Super Bowls. They are really good at not making any sort of dumb mistakes.
Now, you realize, though, that's because the refs fix everything in favor of the Patriots if you hear the conspiracy theorists. That's how they feel.
You know, there might be actually a little bit to the truth to that because you look at an MLB umpire, right? And when Joey Votto's batting for the Reds, every umpire knows he has a great eye. So when the pitcher puts one on the corner, they know Votto would not have taken that for strike 3, and they call a ball. So there might actually be a slight bias because of that.
What did you think, as a guy who gambles professionally for a living, Steve Fezzik, by the way, two-time winner of the Super Contest joining us here, what did you think of the controversy at the end of the Rams-Saints game, and how did that affect Vegas, and how did Vegas react to that?
Yeah, you know, Vegas is immune to all this. This happens to us literally on a daily basis, that there's some horrendous bad beat where a coach gets hit with 3 technicals at the end of a college basketball team, and a team that was tied doesn't cover plus five. So we're, like I said, we did not overreact to it. It is unfortunate because the Saints, had they gotten the call that they should have gotten, would have had about a 96% chance at that point to win the game. But even not getting the call, they still had a 70% chance to win, and they still won the coin toss in overtime, and so they had about a 64% chance to win, and they didn't get it done. So the fact that I think it would have been different if that one call had decided the game completely, but the Saints still had plenty of opportunities to win.
Do you know that if they had run the ball three times and kicked the field goal, the predictive index was over 98% that they would have won the game?
You know,
if they had just run the ball, if they had just run the ball three times and made the Rams use their timeouts, it would have been 47. It's crazy.
I'm going to disagree with that because I believe that they could only get the clock down to 110 if they ran the ball. And if you give the Rams the ball back with 110, the Rams are going to win that game down three, probably 25% of the time.
Oh, really? So that's because the number that I was reading here this morning was 48, 49 seconds. One piece had 48, one had 49. That's not good. I mean, those are not good numbers, but I didn't realize that.
I believe that number was if the call had been made, that then the Rams would have gone down to a 2% chance.
Do you believe the Patriots are a good bet tomorrow? Can you give that to us?
I think it's really tough because I'm supposed to give out my forecast on what's the good.
Oh, well, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that then. I shouldn't put you on the spot like that. How about this? Is it do you feel more or less confident in the Patriots than you had previously going into a Super Bowl because of this matchup?
I actually think it's a good matchup for the Patriots because of the experience and the like. And I know this is ultra square, but you just don't make money betting against the Patriots. But let me quantify why you don't make money betting against the Patriots. Since the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, if you had just bet on the Patriots every game, even though they'd become a public team, they've covered 59% of every game. And why do they do it? Because the stats lie. The stats never tell you how good this team is. And why is that? Because Belichick knows the correct analytics thing to do, and he does the little things that no other coach does. Example, when Belichick kicks off at 50, so many coaches just kick it out of the end zone, and it drives the advanced analytics guys crazy because it's almost like if I did that in an intramural game, like you'd be screaming at me, what are you doing? Of course, kick to the 2-yard line. And yet the supposedly the smartest minds in the game can't figure out what I consider to be something that sharp eighth graders know.
Steve, you're awesome. Thank you so much, and thanks for sharing your insights today.
Let's have no score first 5 minutes, 30 seconds.
There we go. Good job. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
All right, giving you Steve Fezzik. Fantastic job. The only two-time winner of the Super Contest. Guy's awesome. And a bit of a savant, I got to tell you. He's got that going. He's giving you some insights. I can't believe it. It's the end of the third quarter. I got to regroup here, figure out what our fourth quarter strategy is going to be. I know this. This guy came to my town, and he used poor judgment in doing it. And we have missed a lot this week. But Tom's going to get us caught up on it. Final hour of the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl 53 special, live from Atlanta. Stick around. Don't move. CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.